Well, good morning. It is Easter, right? He is risen. And today we celebrate like no other day. Of all the days of the church, this is the day we go all out. The service is filled with joyous music and the, you know, vivid colors and beautiful, fragrant flowers, and you. You dressed in your Sunday best and your smiles. It's your smiles. I know they're there. I can see them even through the mask. But your smiles beautify this place today. This is a great and glorious day to celebrate. But you know, our gospel account this morning paints a bit of a different picture, doesn't it? John's record is kind of very low key. Yes, there was a few people running back and forth between tombs, but overall, it was a calm and tranquil morning, not triumphant. There were no multitudes of the heavenly host. There were no hallelujah choruses. Our text opens early on Sunday morning, and it's still dark, and one of the women, Mary Magdalene, makes her way to the tomb, and as she nears it, she suddenly stops. And through the pre-dawn light, she squints, and she sees that the stone that had been covering Jesus' tomb has been removed. And instantly she turns and she runs to try to find the disciples. And this is how John's account of the resurrection begins. Three people play in this scene on the first Easter. Three people go to the tomb, and all three have a different reaction to the empty tomb. First, there is Mary Magdalene. You may recall she was a follower of Jesus. She helped fund his ministry. And she went to the tomb that first Easter morning, and upon seeing the stone rolled away, she jumped to conclusions. John doesn't tell us that she goes to even investigate, but she assumes that someone has stolen the body. And she's not moved to faith by the empty tomb. Rather, she's moved by fear. The second person is Peter. Mary finds Peter and John and tells them the awful news. They have taken the Lord, and I don't know where they put him. Peter's shocked. He says nothing, but runs to the tomb to see for himself, and then John follows. Now, either Peter is out of shape and old, or maybe John's just a speedster, but John reaches the tomb first. Peter lost the race to the tomb, but what he lacked in athleticism, he made up in boldness and courage. Because when Peter finally gets there, John is kind of crouching on the outside, fearful to go in. But Peter, he just bulls his way in. Peter charges in, and he sees that the tomb is empty. There's no body. There's only the used grave clothes where the body had been laying. And here's what amazes me in this part of the story is that all of this seems to have no significance for Peter. He seems perfectly satisfied that Mary's story was true and someone has stolen the body. John tells us nothing about what Peter said or maybe what he was thinking. But there is no hint that he is impressed or drawn deeper into the faith. John simply says, Peter went home. It was like it meant nothing. And the last person in the story is John, the writer. He followed Peter into the tomb, and when he saw the empty grave clothes, he said, I saw and believed. Now, what we're faced with here are three people went to the tomb, and they saw it empty, but only one believed and was drawn into the faith. That's not a very strong witness for the reality of the resurrection, is it? If there is, you know, if this is all we have to go on, well, then we're on pretty shaky ground, aren't we? But the truth is that this isn't the only record we have of the Easter story. We have three more from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who each tell us the story in their own words and the way they recall it. But even when we take this all together, it doesn't help much either because it adds to the confusion. Because the fact is, They tell different stories. There are minor differences and discrepancies which confuse us even more. And these contradictions muddy the waters. But I don't want you to get hung up on these minor differences. We need to realize something, and that is that belief in the resurrection, the empty tomb, has never been easy. It wasn't easy for those disciples who were there and saw it, and it's certainly not easy for us looking 2,000 years into the past. No one actually saw. This adds to the confusion here. No one actually saw the resurrection. They only testify to what they had seen after it happened. And although the hills were filled with throngs of people in for Passover, and they witnessed Jesus' arrest, they witnessed his crucifixion and his death, not one person saw the stone rolled away or saw Jesus resurrect. All they knew was the empty tomb and the grave clothes. So is that it? Is all we really have is a murky myth, or at best a strange mystery? Not at all. The fact is that testimonies of a visit to an empty tomb are not the way a person comes to faith in the resurrected Christ. Even when we add in all the other details from the other three Gospels of the angels and the bright lights, it's still not enough to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. But there is something that can, and that something is that resurrection faith is grounded in the appearance of a resurrected Lord. It wasn't the entry of the empty tomb, but it was encountering the living Lord that produced faith. And that's still true today. Martin Luther said it best when he said, "We do not believe the resurrection because of an empty tomb, but because of a Christ-filled world." Scripture tells us that Mary and Peter did come to life-saving faith after Jesus appeared to them. Mary in the garden and Peter when he was with the other disciples hiding in the room. So we are led to faith not by coming to church each year on Easter Sunday and entering the tomb through the scriptures or by hearing the stories and struggling to make sense of it all. No. We, like all faithful throughout history, we come to true belief in the resurrection by encountering Jesus in our everyday lives. It isn't an empty tomb, but it's the relationship with Christ that brings faith. Only the encounters of the living God in our daily lives can cause us and assure us that the resurrection is real. That the resurrection is real. We can't see him, but we sense him. When he answers our prayer, when he gives us courage, when we want to run away, when he strengthens us to do things we didn't think we could, when he gives us just enormous joy at something we've accomplished, that's Christ, and it strengthens us. And my friends, that's why each week I ask, where have you seen God this week? What are you thankful for? Can you share testimony? Because you see, it's not coming to church and sitting in a pew because someone told us to that brings us to faith. It's not singing songs that are prompted on the screen or through the liturgist that brings us to faith. We come together and we give testimony and we share our stories with one another. How God healed us here, or God answered our prayer here, or God kept us safe here. And strengthens us. I know that person. I know that story's true. And I know that Jesus is in their life. And that gives me courage that and assurance that when I need it, it'll be in my life too. So we come to church to encourage one another through the testimonies that we experience. But not only for us, not just for our church. But my friends, when we come and we gather, it's a testimony to the people out there of who we are and what we believe. I remember after 9/11, the 2 weeks after 9/11, churches were packed, standing room only, by people who were faithful every week and people who believed in a higher power, there was a God, they may not have been living it out and they may have been down at the bar the night before and cussing like a sailor, but they believed in something. And on that day, they needed something to believe in. And where did they turn? They turned to the church for courage. They turned to the church for comfort. They turned to the church and God for assurance. And that testimony showed the world, those filled churches showed the world that we are a Christian nation. We may not always act like it, but deep inside we know there's a better place. We know that there's a greater power. We know there is a God. And so we turn to Him. But why is it only when that we testify in times like that? We need to testify every day to the glory of God. When the parking lot out here is full and someone drives by, it is a testimony to them of what we believe. It is a testimony that there is a God. And so our gathering together just isn't for our own purposes and our own assurance. It's not just for our church, but it's to our community and the world beyond. And so we gather today, we testify to God, and we proclaim with great confidence. We proclaim with great confidence, and I want you to say with this with me, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day that you have brought us forth. Lord, may our presence here today be a testimony of our faith. May our faith, our presence here today be a testimony to those outside who see us coming in and leaving. And Lord, may it not just be a testimony today, but may we take this faith that we have, this truth that we know, take it into our classrooms, take it into our workplace, take it to the sports fields. And in everything we do, may they know that we are Christians by the testimony we give and by the way that we love one another. This we ask in your holy name. Amen.